Good afternoon. This is Ram from freewillfilmworks.com and Saeed Sabor from America in Focus on 9/11/2021, the 20th anniversary of the Bush crime family's attack on America. Saeed, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Do you want to open up, Saeed, or you want me to go ahead?
Yeah, well, I'll just open up and say, back in 9/11, of course, yes, the Bush crime family committed one of the crimes of the century. But unfortunately, years afterwards, and even now, there are many people in the world who believe that the events that took place on September 11th in New York with the Twin Towers was a terrorist attack against the United States by Al-Qaeda, which we in Iran refer to as Al-Qaeda, because Al-Qaeda was a creation of the CIA when the Soviets invaded Afghanistan back in 79. And it was created basically to create terrorism on behalf of the New World Order and blame all the terrorism on radical Islamic groups and individuals. And from the beginning, me and Ron have done many shows in the past about 9/11, and we've exposed 9/11 countless numbers of times. And the main proof that 9/11 was an inside job is that there's no way the 19 Arab hijackers, which is the official narrative of the 9/11 story, the 19 Arab hijackers with box cutters invaded a multi-billion dollar military industrial complex and committed the crime of the century. Commandeered planes, hit them into buildings, hit them into the Pentagon, invaded all intelligence, and not to mention the fact that on 9/11, there was a project called Vigilant Guardian where the planes were not military aircraft was not in anywhere in or near Washington D.C. That could have thwarted any sort of terrorist attack. And then you had other things about 9/11. You had like Larry Silverstein, the super Zionist owner of the World Trade Center buildings, who just happens to be a very good friend of Benjamin Netanyahu, who on the day of 9/11 just happened to have a appointment with his dermatologist, and he wasn't anywhere in the buildings. And then 6 weeks prior to 9/11, he took out, he bought a $14 million insurance policy covering both World Trade Center buildings from including a special clause against terrorist attacks. So, I mean, there's this and there are many other proofs that prove that 9/11 was indeed an inside job. But as I stated before, even to this day, there are many people who still believe that it was a terrorist attack committed by 19 Arab hijackers.
Yeah, everything about 9/11 is the official Bush crime family story is absurd, and nothing about their version of what happened is real. When I say nothing, I mean that literally. They claim they found a passport of one of the hijackers in the rubble, but it was in perfect condition. Apparently, when the plane crashed into the tower and the plane exploded, that passport miraculously flew out of one of the hijackers' pocket down to the ground, and there was no burns on it, no smoke on it, nothing. Well, obviously, it was planted by one of the Bush crime family operatives. And everything is just a joke. There's no video that has been released to the public of the so-called plane crashing into the Pentagon, except for a small one-tenth of a second clip. Well, you can't determine what the plane was, or the object that struck the Pentagon was, because it's blurry and it's only one frame. It was not a 737 or any passenger airline. It was a special plane, drone plane, flown into the Pentagon that was loaded with explosives. And there's two things why that plane was flown into the Pentagon. One, to make the Pentagon look like it was the target of the terrible Osama bin Laden, who had nothing to do with it and probably didn't even know it was going to take place. The other thing was they wanted to test the Pentagon building to see how well it would stand up to an actual attack by a cruise missile. And that's probably what hit it, was a cruise missile launched from a naval ship off the coast. They wanted to see if it could hold up to it. And the section of the Pentagon that was hit by the cruise missile had recently been reinforced with special building materials to withstand a direct attack from a cruise missile. It was a test. That's what it was. Now, the Shanksville plane crashed. No bodies were ever found. The plane was never found. No debris was ever found. All there was a crater in the ground. Well, obviously, a Air Force jet just dropped a bomb in that area, and they claim that's where the plane crashed. And the official story is, well, when a plane crashes into the ground, there's never any debris because it crashes at such a high velocity that the entire plane, all the contents, everything simply disintegrate. Well, if that's true, then why has every plane that's ever crashed in the history of the world always left debris? What about Roswell crash, where they found tons of debris? They supposedly found alien bodies.
Yeah,
go ahead, Saeed. Jump in.
Yeah, just to put out one incident that happened many, many years ago. This was before 9/11. There was a Helios airliner, which is the Greek national airline. There was a crash and found there was wreckage. There was a fuselage. There was parts of an engine that was found. I mean, there were literally bodies found. I mean, nothing evaporated. And the same thing going back to the Pentagon, even if a Boeing 757 or 37 or any kind of Boeing, passenger plane hits the building, whether it's the Pentagon or any other building, you would find wreckage associated with, that plane. The engines would still be intact. They just would not evaporate. So again, just like Ron said, it doesn't make any sense, the official narrative, because obviously it's just a crazy explanation to cover up an inside job. And one more thing is that with the World Trade Center buildings, throughout the history of the world, and there'd be many instances. I mean, when I mentioned the Helios airliner that crashed, I mean, there were many other airliners that crashed too, and you always would find bodies and wreckage and what have you. But even with the World Trade Center buildings, I mean, before that, there were many, many instances, many examples. You can don't take my word for it or Ron's. Go online and look it up for yourself. There are many instances throughout history where planes have hit buildings. In fact, even the Empire Strike Building in New York many decades ago was hit by a plane. I don't know if it was a commercial plane or a passenger plane, but none of those buildings ever came down, even when they were hit by planes. I mean, yes, there was fires involved, but they usually dissipated and everything went back to normal. So again, and even with the World Trade Center buildings, and this is something that even many news commentators, in fact, the late Peter Jennings, who passed away many years ago, during the events of September 11th, he even mentioned on air when the World Trade Center buildings were coming down, he said it looks like something that would be like a controlled demolition. That's what he said. Peter Jennings, obviously not a, you know, a mainstream news broadcaster, was even saying that, as well as many other individuals. And even there was one anchorman in CNN was saying when the initial footage of the Pentagon was being released of the attack, he even said, well, it doesn't look like any plane hit the building. This is his words. So obviously even mainstream commentators were remarking that, you know, the events, the wreckage was just inconsistent with planes hitting buildings and what have you.
Yeah, well, there's so many things that is wrong about the official Bush crime family explanation of what happened that you could write dozens of books detailing all of their lies. Now, for people who are interested in actually reading articles telling the truth about 9/11, go to freeworldfilmworks.com, freeworldfilmworks.com, and click on the news archives, and there are literally dozens of articles explaining everything that happened on 9/11, all the lies of the Bush crime family. But here's something that people simply don't understand. When you have a 100-story skyscraper, I think the twins were 110, and one was hit on the 91st floor and the other on the 80th floor. Okay, fires broke out on those floors. It is physically impossible, and every structural engineer on the planet will admit, physically impossible for a fire that high up on a skyscraper to cause the building to collapse. Physically impossible. There is no explanation. The so-called pancake theory is absurd. Because even if you could take a giant laser and cut a line through a skyscraper, and then the stories above that laser cut would actually fall onto the remaining section of the building, it would not be enough force, energy, to cause the rest of the 80 stories or 90 stories to simply collapse, to fail, structural failure. Physically impossible. Cannot happen. And these twin towers had 47 support columns that were, I forget the exact diameter, but two men standing on either side of a column with their arms reaching around, they wouldn't be able to touch each other's hands. That's how large these columns were. Those columns do not fall, cannot fall. If the pancake theory was true and the building attached to the support columns were to fall, you'd still have the support columns standing up. And when you watch the films of the two buildings collapsing, you'll see explosive puffs coming out before each story collapses. But those are the explosives that were planted inside the building before the attack going off. What they did is literally planted massive amounts of explosives on the columns, literally cutting each column on every single floor. That's why they fell straight down. If you asked an expert on demolition, building demolition, and you just show him the picture without him knowing anything about the 9/11 attacks and say, describe to me what's happening. He said, well, that's obvious. The explosives planted inside the building on the support columns are cutting the support columns, and the building is falling straight down. What you want when you demolish a building. So everything about 9/11 is by the Bush crime family is a lie. Now the question is, how do you get the media to go along with a lie that is unbelievable? Including Fox. The Fox network went along with this and still goes along with it. No one on the Fox network, even Tucker Carlson, will come out and say that the Bush crime family attack on 9/11 was exactly that and everything about it is a lie. None of them will.
And I wanted to mention too,
that shows you the power of the of Bush and the Rockefeller crime family. Go ahead, Saeed.
Yeah, and I was going to also extend on what you were saying about the support columns and the explosives. There was a professor at Brigham Young University. The name escapes me, but there were some samples of the debris from what happened from the Twin Towers, and they found nanothermite in that debris. And nanothermite is used commonly in explosive devices.
Yeah, everything about it, the story is absurd. But it shows the power of the media. If you can get the media to go along with the story, just like the COVID-19 pandemic hoax, you can do just about anything. And the 9/11 attacks was the beginning of the end of America and freedom in the world. The Patriot Acts number one and two basically turned America into a total dictatorship. And now with the COVID-19 hoax, they're implementing a total dictatorship with the lockdowns and the vaccine passport scam that they're coming up with, to where you can't get into public events, public buildings, unless you show you've been vaccinated. It's coming about slowly, and it's going to take several more years, but if it isn't stopped, we will be living in a dictatorship that will make North Korea look like a land of total freedom. Australia right now is a worse dictatorship than North Korea. They've got everything locked down there so tightly that you cannot leave your home without permission, and you can only go 3 miles from your home. And if you're caught violating any of the dictatorial laws that they've implemented, you are arrested and thrown in jail or sent to a labor camp, and they're going to bring that here. It'll take a while, but that's the plan. Go ahead, Saeed.
Right, exactly. Just a tool of control domination and manipulation. And throughout history, you know, there have been so many strings of false flag operations. I know everybody listening can remember what happened on September 11th, with the Pearl Harbor attack that precipitated the U.S. to get involved in World War II. Now, there's been many documents and proofs that have come out that Franklin Delano Roosevelt did indeed know about Pearl Harbor beforehand, but they let it happen. Why? Just so they can get an excuse to get into war against Germany and Japan. And likewise, the Gulf of Tonkin incident that precipitated U.S. involvement in Vietnam, another false flag operation. And even during the turn of the century, during the Spanish-American War, the USS Maine that was blown up in Havana Harbor was what precipitated the United States entry into war against Spain. And it's come out that that what happened on the USS Maine, first of all, the Spaniards did not sabotage the ship. They didn't blow it up. And if anybody sabotaged it, it was actually the United States Corporation at the time. They were the ones who blew up the ship just to give them an excuse, the powers that be, to get involved in a war with Spain and take control of a number of territories, which they did, including the Philippines. For several decades. So again, 9/11 is just one string, a chain of multiple false flag operations. And one more thing is interesting about 9/11 is that, not just after 9/11, there were many other false flags, like the Madrid train bombings and what have you. And also there was a false flag operation in London too, after 9/11. But interestingly enough, before 9/11, it wasn't just the fact that Larry Silverstein decided to take out that insurance policy 6 weeks prior to 9/11, which he cashed on in handsomely, mind you. He's made billions of dollars. He's actually from that policy itself. And interestingly enough, before 9/11, Marvin Bush, he was the head of a security firm called Securicom. I think that's the name of it, that was responsible for security at the World Trade Center buildings. And many people even remarked, people who were in the World Trade Center buildings had remarked, and this was well before 9/11, that there were numerous drills that were initiated in the World Trade Center building, basically evacuating people from both Twin Towers. It happened, you know, multiple times on multiple days for hours. They evacuated people from both Twin Towers. So that gave ample opportunity for anybody to actually go into the Twin Towers and place explosives in those buildings to bring them down.
Well, they were doing repairs. For about 6 weeks prior to the attack, they were repairing the buildings. Now, here's another thing we haven't mentioned. Building number 7, the short one, I think it's about 47 stories. No plane hit that building. It fell directly straight down like the other two, the twins. Now, the Bush crime family claims that debris from the twins fell onto building number 7 and started a fire, and the fire caused the building to collapse. Well, that is absurd beyond comprehension. There was a building in Paris, a skyscraper, several years after 9/11, that caught fire and literally burned for more than 24 hours before they could put it out. And it never collapsed. The entire building was consumed except for the support columns. It never collapsed. Buildings cannot collapse. Skyscrapers cannot collapse due to fire. It is physically impossible. Now, another thing is London had a was broadcasting during the after the attack, soon after, and they had a woman, I forget her name, talking about the attacks, and she literally said, "Now, building number 7 behind me," she was facing away from building number 7, but she was reading a teleprompter, and she said, "Building number 7 has now collapsed." Well, you could see that building number 7 had not collapsed while she was saying it had collapsed, because the timing of her announcing the collapse was a little bit before it actually collapsed. So whoever wrote, you know, the stuff on the teleprompter put it up too soon. He was in a studio and he couldn't see building number 7. That is an absolute 100% guarantee that the media in London was doing, following orders from the Bush crime family and announcing this thing. Now, Peter Jennings and Dan Rather, both said that the collapse of the buildings looked like they were demolished, which they were. But after they said that, the next day, they never said it again. And if you remember the attack on the federal building back, when was that, 95, Saeed?
Yeah, Timothy, yeah, that was back. Yeah, I think I was 95, yeah, you're right, Oklahoma City. F. Murray Federal
Building. Yeah, that attack on a federal building was also an inside job. The truck, Ryder truck parked out front, supposedly packed with fertilizer bombs. It could not do the damage to the building that was caused because support columns in the building were literally cut in half. Well, a fertilizer bomb can't do that, even if it's sitting right next to a support column. There's not enough power in a fertilizer bomb, even several of them in a truck, to take out a support column. And it was, I forget how far, but 100 or more feet away from the support column. And the funny thing is, it supposedly took out a support column that was further inside than other support columns. So the explosion bypassed the closest support columns and took out a support column that was farther away, which is absurd. It cannot happen. That's the thing, when these idiots pull off these terrorist attacks, they make mistakes because they're not geniuses. They're not perfect. When they pull these things off, they make mistakes. Just like when President Kennedy was assassinated, there was a newspaper in New Zealand that came out before he was shot detailing the entire shooting, naming Oswald as the shooter before he was shot, about an hour before he was shot, because they screwed up on the time zone. And they had a complete workup on Oswald. We're going off the live broadcast, and we're going to do 15 more minutes on the archive starting right now. You want to jump in on any of this?
Yeah, I just want to make a note too, Ron. Although it says 15 minutes archive, actually, I checked before, it's 30 minutes archive. So we have 30 minutes, actually.
Oh, 30, okay.
Yeah, okay. So basically I wanted to mention, too, yeah, you made a great point about the JFK assassination because, you're right. There was, I mean, obviously people had prior knowledge, and they, you know, you're right, they make mistakes inadvertently. But it's interesting about 9/11 too, and you know, Alex Jones mentioned this in one of his books, that the Center for Counterterrorism in Tel Aviv, Israel, they had advanced knowledge about something that was going to happen in New York City with the Twin Towers. And it was interesting. A group of Israeli nationals linked with Israel's security service, the Mossad, there were, I think, I forgot how many of them there were. They were literally cheering and dancing after the Twin Towers attacks. They were arrested and detained, and then they were also let go because, I mean, obviously they had inside knowledge that 9/11 was going to transpire. And, you know, there have been, you know, the fact is there have been a number of books that have been written exposing 9/11 as an inside job hoax that did. And there was one book in particular, the late Victor Thorne, unfortunately, who passed away a number of years ago. They say it was a suicide. Probably he might have been just killed off. But anyway, Victor Thorne had written a book called 9/11, I think it was Evil, about obviously he does acknowledge the Bush crime family was definitely, obviously they were involved in 9/11, but he also mentioned directly the fact that Israel's Mossad was also involved in 9/11, that all the big honchos, whether not just Larry Silverstein, you know, Philip Zelikow, you know, the head of the New York Port Authority, were all Zionists, staunch Zionists, and also the fact that you know, there were many Israeli, for example, Amdocs was a major telecom company. Had a lot to do with the communications and what have you that was going on during before 9/11 and after 9/11 too. Is an Israeli company. Amdocs was one of the biggest intelligence, telecom companies at the time. So it's obvious that, you know, it's not just the Bush crime family, but obviously Israel's Mossad was also heavily involved in the 9/11 attacks, especially given the fact that you had dancing Israelis filming the whole incident. So obviously they're not there. If they were filming the whole incident, then in common sense dictates they knew in advance that something was going to go on 9/11 with the Twin Towers. And it's just amazing that they were arrested, detained, and they were just let go. If it was somebody else, they would never be let go, but they just let them go because obviously the Bush family gave orders for them to be let go.
Yeah, well, the dancing Jews is unbelievable. They were there filming the attack, so they knew beforehand. Another interesting tidbit about 9/11 is that a boy in a school in New York mentioned a few days before the attack to the class, and this is well documented, he said, "You see those two buildings over there? They're going to be brought down in a few days." Now, that isn't a myth. That is a fact. Just look it up. Boy predicts 9/11 attacks, because this attack was known by thousands of people in America and around the world. In London in 2005, July 7, they had a bombing, Islamic terrorist bombing in London. And if you read about it, just go to Wikipedia and read about it. London bombings, July 2005. It's called the 7/7 attacks. You'll find unbelievable facts that'll blow your mind. But one of the main things is, in London, just like here in America, the military was conducting what they call drills. Here in America, they had, I think it was 5 separate drills taking place on 9/11 that were specifically drills to defend against a terrorist attack. Now, the reason they conduct drills, and the same thing in the Oklahoma City bombing, they were conducting drills on that day too. And the federal building that was blown up, none of the BATF agents or FBI agents were in the building on that day. They just mysteriously never showed up. But they conducted drills. All of these terrorist incidents, there's always drills going on by the military, the FBI, CIA, etc. And it's just an absurdity for anyone to believe the official government story on any of these terrorist attacks, including the terrorist attack on America and the whole world with the COVID-19. It is a biological terrorist attack on the entire world. Now, let me just say, go ahead, Say, jump in.
But I was gonna mention too. No, actually, you can make your point. I'll make it afterwards.
No, go ahead, jump in.
No, I was gonna say too that you know, the official narrative of the media and the government about 9/11. Well, let me put it forward this point. And the FBI, has even stated specifically. And they've accused Osama bin Laden of many things. But this is a fact. Even to this day, the FBI says there is no hard evidence linking Osama bin Laden with the events of 9/11. And, you know, the whole narrative is that Osama bin Laden was the one who masterminded these attacks. Osama bin Laden, by the way, who was a longtime operative for the CIA back during the days of the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan in 79, was responsible for it, and yet one of the major government institutions, the FBI, said he was not involved in the events of 9/11. And then another thing I wanted to mention on top of that, but very much related with the mythical figure of Osama bin Laden, is the 19 Arab hijackers. And this is actually a fact. A number of those supposed hijackers were turning up alive all over the world. What was that guy's name? Mohammed bin Atta's father even affirmed after 9/11 that his son was still alive and he was talking to them. So anyways, all these 19 so-called hijackers who committed the crime of the century were turning up alive everywhere. And then not only that, even when they were alive, supposedly masterminding the attack, they were under actually surveillance, and a number of their neighbors were even informing the law enforcement about suspicious activity, and they just shrugged it off.
Yeah, well, there are so many things about it. You could literally do a show for nonstop for months. But like you said, I think it's a 6 of the supposed hijackers are still alive, verified, 100% verified. But 6 of them are still alive. And let me just point out, the 3 planes that, the 4, supposed 4 planes, that crashed, 2 in the Twins, 1 in the Pentagon, and then 1 in Shanksville. Those were military drones. None of them were the passenger airline. What happened was those airline jets were all flown to military bases nearby. The passengers were disembarked and taken to a facility underground, what they call a dump, a deep underground military base. And most of them are still alive, living underground. Now, some of them obviously have died because it's 20 years later, but they were taken underground and they've been living there underground. Some of them who didn't go along with the program underground could have been tortured and killed. Most of them probably just went along with it. And this is something you can look it up on the internet. D-U-M-B, dumb, deep underground military base. And there's tons of proof that the military has had bases, entire cities built underground, where they conduct all sorts of things, where they're building weapons. Most of these underground cities, they build the spaceships, the UFO that are seen around the world. Most of them are the U.S. Corporation spaceships, and they're building a gigantic fleet of spaceships, not only underground, but literally on the moon. The U.S. Corporation has military bases on the moon, on Mars, and on every moon in this solar system. And they have thousands of spaceships. And this so-called admission by the military that they've known about UFOs for decades and they can't figure out what they are, it's just a lie. The U.S. military came into contact with fallen angels who claimed to be aliens from another planet during World War II. They gave them special technology to win the war, and then they gave them the space technology to build spaceships, colonies, etc. And they've been doing this for, well, since 45. And they had their first colony on the moon built and set up in the late 50s or early 60s. And when the Apollo astronauts went up there, they said they saw spaceships when they were on the moon. And while they were going to and from the moon. So everything about the world that you think you know, you don't know anything if all you listen to is the establishment media. You want to jump in, say?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the establishment, even Donald Trump himself, he referred to the establishment media, the mainstream media, as fake news. I mean, everybody knows, left or right, whether they call themselves liberals or conservatives. I mean, the mainstream media is just a repository mouthpiece of propaganda, endless nonsensical propaganda, whether it's about 9/11 or anything else. And, I wanted to mention, too, another interesting thing about, what happened on 9/11 is this was mentioned in Jim Mars's book, Inside Job. Jim Mars has written several books detailing false flag operations and cover-ups and conspiracies. And he mentioned, too, that there, the eyewitness testimony, her name, I think was the name was April Gallup. She was actually a number of FBI agents had actually met with her telling her specifically to say that there was a Boeing plane that hit the Pentagon. She even mentioned this, that there was no Boeing plane that hit the Pentagon, but the Secret Service agents were constantly telling her to change her story, even offering her money as compensation for her to affirm that, that a Boeing plane hit the Pentagon. And, you know, the eyewitnesses, there were not just her, not just April Gallup, there were many other eyewitnesses who also mentioned that there was no plane that hit the Pentagon. And then on top of that, too, they had gas station recordings nearby the Pentagon, many of which were, some of them actually were allowed to, you know, play what supposedly happened on 9/11.
Are they leaving?
And
none of the footage actually showed many of those recordings were actually confiscated by Secret Service agents and the FBI. So, I mean, it boils down to why would they confiscate certain tapes and material if it was not in an effort to basically silence any sort of evidence out that the official narrative of 9/11 was a hoax? I mean, again, they wouldn't have anything to fear, but they obviously fear all those eyewitness testimonies and recordings that prove that everything happened on 9/11 was indeed a hoax.
Yeah, it's just absurd to believe any part of the story of 9/11 or Oklahoma City or the London bombings or the COVID-19. You have to remember the media, establishment media, its primary job is to brainwash people into believing lies so the New World Order gang can establish a new world order. Now, if you look up some articles on the internet about COVID-19, you can go to band.video and see tons of videos on this. Band.video, BANNED.video, and see tons of videos on COVID-19 hoax showing where the top people, Gates, Soros, Clintons, etc., have said that they're going to establish a new world order with this COVID-19 hoax. And they say they're going to depopulate the world. And they call it the Great Reset. So there's tons of proof that this COVID-19, the 9/11, all the so-called terrorist attacks were perpetrated by the New World Order gang to create a new world order. And they're not going to do it overnight. They're having trouble right now because a lot of people around the world are resisting the lockdowns, the vaccinations. And the vaccine is not a real vaccine. It's a mRNA, messenger RNA drug that's being pumped into your body that literally changes your body. And the purpose of it is to weaken your immune system. And you supposedly, your immune system, when you take these vaccines, drops so low that you pick up any virus and you become deathly ill. It's literally these fake vaccines are designed to weaken your immune system so you will die from the flu or pneumonia or any virus out there. And they say now you got to get booster shots. I think in Israel, they've already working on the second booster shot or the fourth shot overall. They've already done the two Pfizers and then the booster, and I think they're coming up with another booster. But the problem is about 95% of the people who are dying in Edom land have taken the fake vaccines because they weaken your immune system, and when you catch any virus, any bacteria of any kind, after you've been shot with the Franken shot, you're most likely going to die. Want to jump in, Saeed?
Yeah. So it's interesting too that when these vaccines were brought onto the scene, there were a number of news reports that people were continually still dying even with the vaccinations. They were making it out to seem, well, they weren't taking necessary precautions. They weren't doing the mandatory social distancing. They weren't wearing the masks. No, it was because the vaccines were actually furthering, as like a catalyst, they were furthering their deaths. And, going back to Bill Gates, Bill and his wife, Matilda Gates, with their Gates Foundation and what have you, and this is well before COVID-19, were talking about their desire to vaccinate the world's population from what they call diseases and viruses. But it is a part of the depopulation. And you can look this up for yourself. Anybody goes on the internet, there's actually the Guidestones, Georgia Guidestones. They literally say that they want to reduce the population to literally 500,000 people worldwide from the billions that it is currently. So, this is not some sort of make-believe hocus-pocus that there's a planned, depopulation scheme. It's not just in the Georgia Guidestones. With that peanut farmer, Jimmy Carter was president of the United States. He had commissioned a Global 2000 report. And interestingly enough, in this Global 2000 report, it even called for a mass reduction of the population. You can read this up for yourself, everybody listening. This is, again, not make-believe, hocus-pocus, wild conspiratorial thinking. This is literally, they put this in writing. They literally said in the Global 2000 report, they want to reduce the world's population. So obviously these viruses and what pestilences that they create are part and parcel of it. But another thing too, talking about, putting in writing their desire to implement chaos and destruction and killing people, the Project for a New American Century, which has as its members all the big players during 9/11, like, and also the chief leading strategists like Paul Wolfowitz and Frank Gaffney and others, the intellectual mouthpieces of the New World Order, who are on this project for a New American Century. They even stated before 9/11.
Let me cut in.
Yes, sure.
It's over. It just ended.
Okay.
Well, let me just tell you, my mom is dying from colon cancer, and she's not going to be alive for very much longer, probably only a few days.
I'm sorry to hear about that.
Yeah. So I'm going to be super busy. I've got to clean out my bedroom, my office, get it ready for the house going up for sale. So let's just hold off on any more programs until I get the house cleaned up and everything. I got to put tons of stuff in storage. So I'm going to be busy probably 18 hours a day for the next 2 months or so.
Did the doctors give the final assessment that she would pass away?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They said she can try surgery, have her colon removed, you know, colostomy bag, you know, et cetera. But she don't want to go through that at her age. She's 89. It just, and she probably wouldn't survive the operations. And she'd feel sick and terrible.
So they give her a couple of days. They're giving her a couple of days.
But they didn't give her. They didn't give a time.
Uh-huh.
I'm just guessing. I mean, she could last another week or two. Right? There's no way of knowing.
Yeah, I know it could happen.
I hope she could last another couple of months, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, it happened to my father many years ago. He lost his colon like about, I think it was like 15 years ago. So he's been on like a bag since then.
Yeah, a colostomy bag, yeah. My grandmother had one of those. And you can last on those for several years.
Right.
Just depending, but she won't do that. She didn't want to go through the procedures and everything.
Right. And then also the thing about surgery too is, especially at that much of that high of an age, chances are, you know, there's some chances that she may not even survive the surgery.
Yeah. If she'd have had this done 10 years ago, yeah.
It would be different.
But she knew about it, but she didn't want to do the operation. So, yeah, my dad died, 4 years ago? So I'm going to be on my own here in a little bit. I'm trying to find a place to buy. I can't buy or rent anything in this area. I'm working in Texas and Florida, and I just got to see if I can qualify for a loan. So
yeah, then
we'll see what happens.
And then, you know, the thing about it is I might be I'm probably going to be moving out of the Chicago area soon. So, you know, I might be getting, maybe moving closer to you so we can start doing those, documentaries again, you know, pick up where Anthony left off.
Well, yeah, if you, decide, in a few months or whatever, you want to move, just let me know. And, hopefully I'll find something here in a month or so. I found a few houses which look good, but I checked with a loan agent, and he said because I have zero credit, I've never had credit cards or taken out loans or anything like that, he says, I wouldn't be able to get a loan of any kind. And so I'm going to get a credit card next week and start using it. And the guy said, it'll take maybe 2 months to actually, you buy something and then pay off 90% of it and leave a little bit left to build your credit. And after I get any kind of credit score, then they can figure out how much of a loan I can take. But if we sell this house and I get some cash out of it, I could have a big enough down payment to where I might qualify.
Right.
So it just depends on how soon after she dies we can sell the house. But right now I've got to clean my room, looks like hell. I mean, I got stuff stacked on the floor all over the place. I got to put everything in boxes, take them to storage, and just get everything, stripped bare, basically. So I'll keep in touch with you, keep you updated.
Okay, no problem. definitely.
That's right. Okay.